If you like what you're about to hear, please consider leaving a review, or liking, sharing, and commenting and subscribing on YouTube. I don't have a Patreon or enable ads for this, so if you really like Oldex, please do contact Games Workshop on social media or via email and tell them you want me to narrate their audiobooks for realsies. Oldex. Codex Space Marines, 4th edition. Pages 12 to 15. The Horus Heresy. Written by Gav Thorpe and Alessio Cavatori. Narrated by R.J. Bailey. With great thanks to Alistair for donating this copy of Codex Chaos Space Marines. The Horus Heresy. As the Great Crusade brought the light of civilization back to the benighted worlds of mankind, it seemed as if the Emperor would found a new age of enlightenment. The gods of chaos would not be beaten so easily. The chaos gods continued to whisper to the Primarchs from the warp, disturbing their dreams with promises of power, appealing to their pride, their martial prowess, and their courage. No single Primarch was wholly resistant to such temptations. The character of each was sorely tested, and fully half of them would eventually fail that test. By appealing to their virtues, the Chaos Gods tempted the Primarchs to lead their Space Marine legions against the Emperor. Initially, even the Primarchs had little idea that they had fallen to chaos. When they rebelled, their good intentions fell away as their souls were saturated by chaos. The Space Marine legions that they led inevitably followed the fall of their commanders. The corrupting force of chaos also spread to the Imperial Army and the Adeptus Mechanicus, until the rot had seeped through to the core of the Emperor's new domain. When the rebellion came, its leader was to be the Primarch least suspected of any treachery, the great and noble Warmaster Horus. He had stood by the side of the Emperor throughout the long years of the Great Crusade. They had fought back to back at the Siege of Rylis, where the Emperor had saved Horus's life. On the battlefield of Goro, Horus had repaid the debt when he hacked the arm from a frenzied Orc warlord as it struggled to choke the Emperor to death. Yet from such familiarity bred a simmering contempt, as the Chaos Gods continued to seed doubt in the Warmaster's mind. When the Emperor returned to Earth, Horus was given free rein to wage war as he saw fit, further fueling the Warmaster's growing arrogance. The flame that ignited the fuel of treachery in the Primarchs came from rebellion in the Istvan system. The Imperial commander there renounced his oaths to the Emperor and declared independence. The Emperor decreed that if the commander of Istvan went unpunished, other worlds might follow suit, and so he ordered Horus to put down the rebellion by whatever means necessary, not knowing the subtle changes chaos had wrought in the Warmaster's soul. Horus chose to end the Istvan rebellion swiftly and without mercy, and Virus bombed Istvan III from orbit. The voracious Life-Eater Virus consumed everything on the planet in a matter of minutes. Whole continents and cities were charred to ashes, as the mass of oxygen released by the instant rotting of all organic material on the planet burned in the atmosphere, covering Istvan III with a firestorm. 12 billion souls died with a death scream that momentarily pulsed brighter than the Astronomicon. It was a blaze of psychic light, signaling to the Chaos Gods that Horus was now theirs. On the planet's surface had been over 100 companies of Space Marines drawn from the Emperor's children, Death Guard, and World Eater legions, still loyal to the Emperor. Of these, fully two-thirds miraculously survived the bombardment thanks to warning messages they received from loyal comrades aboard the orbiting fleet of Warmaster Horus. Whilst Horus resolved what to do with these survivors, Angron, headstrong Primarch of the World Eaters, made planetfall at the head of 50 companies of Space Marines. Horus was incensed by this rash move, But Angron had forced his hand, and the War Master dispatched the remaining Sons of Horus, Emperor's Children, and Death Guard units. The ground fighting began and signaled the start of the greatest civil war ever to have engulfed the Imperium. As the traitorous forces of Horus launched their orbital barrage on the loyal Space Marines, on Istvan III, Captain Garrow of the Death Guard seized the frigate Eisenstein. Garrow was a staunch loyalist. A Terran, he had fought countless battles alongside the Emperor during the Great Crusade. The unfolding events at Istvan III were hard for him to fathom. His instinct had led him to warn the loyal warriors on the planet's surface, and with 70 fellow loyalists, he determined to flee the Istvan system and make for Earth. Garrow's lightly armed cruiser was no match against the powerful battleships of Horus's blockading fleet and took many hits as it sped past their massive gun batteries. The crippled ship limped away from Istvan III. It was severely damaged. All the astropaths aboard had perished in the firefight, and its lone navigator was mortally wounded. The ship was incapable of interstellar communication and had little chance of successfully navigating its way across the Immaterium. All Garrow could hope for was that the Eisenstein could escape from Istvan and somehow find a way to get to Earth to warn the Emperor of Horus's treachery. As the battle between the Space Marines raged across the ruined landscape of Istvan III, more evidence of Horus's perfidy was revealed as loyalists encountered strange newcomers. Amongst these were black-robed cyborgs, using macabre weapons and sporting archaic runes on their clothing. It was clear that Horus had won to his side at least a number of servants of the Mechanicum of Mars. The implications of this were clear to the loyal Space Marines. If Horus had control of the Mechanicum, he would be able to call upon the services of the mighty Collegia Titanica and their gargantuan Titan war machines. Furthermore, if Mars were allied with the War Master, it would provide him with the perfect launching point for an attack on Terra and the Imperial Palace. The Imperium divided. Horus's fall came as a great shock to the Emperor. Stunned by the extent of the treachery by his most favored son, the Emperor committed a grave error and hesitated. Unwilling to believe the extent of Horus's corruption, the Emperor sent his agents into the Imperial Army and the Adeptus Mechanicus to root out all Chaos followers. But fighting immediately broke out between the factions of these massive organizations. Throughout the nascent Imperium, armies turned on their commanders and traitorous generals led their troops in attacks on their former comrades. On Mars, the tech priests unleashed ancient forbidden weaponry upon each other, further scarring the face of the Red Planet in their bitter struggle for dominance. The corrupted Imperium tore itself apart as old feuds were revived and ambitious planetary lords seized the opportunity to declare their secession or side with the War Master. It was doubtful that many of them realized what manner of monster they were now allying themselves with, but no few embraced Chaos fully, and so sacrificed their worlds to the service of the Dark Gods. The Imperial fleet, those that remained loyal, were dispersed and leaderless, succeeding only in driving a few rebel warships from the Terran system before suffering such heavy casualties that they were blockaded at the lunar bases. After an almost fatal delay, the Emperor finally acted, convinced of the betrayal of Horus. He ordered 7 of the legions to hunt down the renegade War Master and destroy him and his rebels. Only with the death of Horus, the champion of Chaos and despotic figurehead of the rebels, would the loyalists gain control again. However, one does not simply send fleets halfway across the galaxy in a day, and the loyal Primarchs spent precious months planning their counterattack, time that allowed Horus and his rebels to consolidate their grip on the eastern fringe and then start their advance upon Earth. Drop site massacres of Istvan V. The assault by the Loyalist legions against Horus's strongholds on Istvan V was a disaster. The legions struck with their customary ferocity and cunning, but this time they fought brother space marines. Both sides possessed troops as fully capable and hardened as each other, knowing every stratagem and plot the other would employ. In the end, strategy was overturned by treachery. Four of the seven legions sent against Horus had been tainted by chaos and now sided with the Warmaster. Instead of supporting the landings, they turned on the three loyal legions. The initial wave of three loyalist legions was heavily mauled during the landings, and then all but destroyed in the subsequent fighting. Only five space marines bearing the gene seed of their butchered brethren escaped the slaughter to carry the disastrous news back to the Emperor. During the drop site massacre, the veteran companies of the Iron Hands Legion fought gallantly beside their Primarch Ferus Manus, but they were hopelessly outnumbered by the sudden appearance of the full strength of Horus's legions. In moments, the Iron Hands were swamped by foes too numerous to count. World Eaters, Death Guard, Emperor's Children, and Sons of Horus Space Marines poured over the Ulgal Hills. The loyal Space Marines struggled to maintain order and cohesion in their perimeter as they desperately tried to stave off the seemingly never-ending onslaught launched by the traitors. Meanwhile, the Salamanders and Raven Guard legions fell back to the drop site to regroup and rendezvous with four legions: the Wordbearers, Iron Warriors, Alpha Legion, and Night Lords. Vulcan and Korax, the legion's respective primarchs, were still unaware that their erstwhile allies had sworn to Horus. This soon became apparent as the four newly arrived legions began firing on them. The Salamanders and Raven Guard were later caught between two traitor armies as the Iron Hands veterans were killed to a man, failing to hold off the counterattack launched by Horus. The Salamanders and Raven Guard were massively outnumbered. Lesser troops would simply have given up in the face of such overwhelming opposition, but the warriors of Vulcan and Korax were space marines, and so they fought with all of the strength they possessed. Even so, it was a massacre. Horus now controlled nine legions and had succeeded in destroying three loyalist legions in the process. All across the galaxy, loyalists and rebels were at each other's throats, gripped in a bitter conflict that would see all of mankind destroyed, or worse, enslaved to the ruinous powers. However, even with his space marine legions, Horus could not sense that soon the tide would turn against him, for his uprising would lose heart in the face of staunch loyalist resistance. He needed to crush the hearts of the Emperor's followers, and he chose to launch a full-scale assault on the seat of all Imperial power: Earth. The attack on Earth. All across the galaxy, many of the Emperor's greatest works had fallen, and his forces were in disarray, having either been corrupted by chaos or locked in bloody conflict with the servants of the Chaos Gods. Such was the position when the forces of Horus gathered around Earth. The lunar bases, bastion of the fleet, fell to Horus following brief but hard fighting, and soon the rebel fleet was in control of orbital space around Earth. Raining fire down upon the Imperial seat, Horus's battleships dueled with planetary defense lasers, crushing them with a heavy bombardment from space. The Space Marine Legions had been created with planetary assault as their primary role, and it was a strategy they had perfected during the Great Crusade. The last squadrons of loyal starfighters poured volley after volley into the traitor ships, but could not penetrate their shields. Seeing no other course of action, the pilots rammed their fighters into the hulls of the orbiting rebel fleet. It was a defiant gesture, nothing more. The traitor legion's dropships fell like deadly rain upon the Imperial Palace and the starports surrounding it, disgorging thousands upon thousands of space marines warped and bolstered by the power of chaos. The defenders refuse to give way, and the attackers force their way forward step by step over the fallen of both sides. As the traitors assaulted the hundreds of square miles of towers, walls, and bastions, the dead were piled so thickly that corridors were blocked by the press of corpses. Still, the forces loyal to the Emperor withstood the initial assault, but could not prevent Horus's space marines setting up siege lines. Gigantic dropships landed at Lion's Gate, and the other starports bringing a second wave of Chaos space marines. Bloodthirsty berserkers of the World Eaters Legion were the first to attempt an all-out assault against the Imperial Palace, and were hurled back after days of bloody fighting. With the initial attack stalled, Horus opted to bring forth his entire arsenal of weapons and warriors to overthrow the Emperor. For over a month, the gigantic cannons of the rebel army pounded the walls, foremost amongst them the siege weapons of the Legio Mortis Titan Legion, which had turned to chaos in the earliest days of the heresy. Eventually, after heavy bombardment, part of the curtain wall came crashing down, and the traitor legions hurled themselves at the breach to pour into the inner palace. Along the banner-lined corridors, through mile-long galleries, the loyalists and rebels tore at each other. At the heart of the fighting stood the Primarchs, Rogal Dawn of the Imperial Fists, and Sanguinius of the Blood Angels fought a desperate rearguard action to halt the force pouring through the breach. Angron of the World Eaters slew Loyalist Space Marines by the dozen, while Mortarion of the Death Guard led his pustulent Plague Marines into the thickest fighting. As the rebel forces slowly closed their grip upon the Loyalist troops, the Emperor readied himself for the final battle, surrounded by his bodyguard of loyal Space Marines and the formidable Custodians. Rogal Dorn and Sanguinius stood with him, their Terminator-armored veterans with them. The last hours of humanity had come, and the few remaining gallant defenders prepared themselves for certain death. The Emperor at bay. The legions of Horus poured into the Imperial Palace in an unstoppable wave. Shouting praise to the gods of chaos, the traitor legions hurled themselves at the final lines of defense. Hundreds of depraved attackers died to the salvos of bolt shell and las cannon blast, but still, the Chaos Space Marines implacably advanced. It was now, at the very moment of his triumph, that Horus made his one and only mistake. None can say for sure why he did it, but Horus lowered the defense shields on his battle barge as this last cataclysmic battle began. It is surmised that without the shields, he was able to better witness the forthcoming destruction of the Emperor and his Imperium. As Horus lowered the defense screens, the Emperor immediately became aware of his presence. Where he had paused at the start of the heresy, now, at the end, the Emperor did not hesitate for a moment. Quickly locking on to the War Master's position, the Emperor relayed the coordinates to the great teleporter banks of the Imperial Palace, and within seconds, he and his bodyguard transported to the traitor War Master's battle barge. They struck at the heart of the Viper's Nest. The final battle. As the Emperor and his entourage materialized inside the War Master's battle barge, they saw firsthand the full extent of Horus's betrayal. Horus had become an almighty champion of chaos, and he and his ships writhed with the dark power of the chaos gods. Nightmarish beyond comprehension, the sight of it drove many of the space marines mad, its unworldly presence seared into their minds as faces leered from bulkheads, demonic voices taunted them, and hideous, shapeless monstrosities grabbed and clawed at them from impossibly dark shadows. Gibbering and wailing filled the air, which seethed with chaos energy, and the floors and bulkheads shifted and twisted to the mad whims of chaos. Despite the horror of his surroundings, The Emperor pressed on towards the bridge, seeking the War Master. In those scant few minutes, many brave Space Marines died in those ghastly, warped corridors. With bolt and flame, they slew hordes of things no longer human as they battled onwards. When they breached the armored doors of the bridge, the Emperor came face to face with his misguided son. Horus, swollen with chaos power, held something bloody and limp in his hands, and as the Emperor entered, the War Master cast it to the deck. It was the body of noble Sanguinius, whose teleport had sent him into the heart of the War Master's lair, and where he had fallen to Horus's fury. The Emperor attacked at once. Both he and Horus knew that whichever of them triumphed would inherit the rule of the galaxy and become the undisputed master of mankind. If Horus was victorious, chaos would rule supreme, and all of humanity would become mere playthings to the whims of bloodthirsty and tyrannical gods. The Emperor and Horus waged their war not only in the material universe with powered blade and claw, but on the psychic plane, their bodies and spirits locked in a struggle to the death. Though Horus dealt the Emperor grievous wounds, the leader of mankind fought not only for himself, but for the fate of untold billions across the galaxy, and he ignored the agony within his battered body. As the Emperor withstood the War Master's attacks, Horus faltered in his physical and psychic assault. Perhaps some small, repressed shred of his humanity and loyalty betrayed Horus, preventing him from dealing the fatal blow. The Emperor, appalled at what Horus had become, seeing his own son and friend as nothing more than a pawn of the Chaos Gods, redoubled his counterattack, dismissing all thoughts of what Horus had once been. With a last effort, the Emperor struck home, shredding the mind of his former friend even as he carved apart his body. The Emperor destroyed the last vestiges of his chosen son, though the effort of doing so all but drained the Emperor of his energy. With the death of Horus, whose will had welded the selfish followers of Chaos to this single cause, the Chaos armies lost the resolve to fight on. The traitor legions abandoned their attack on Earth and fled, while all across the galaxy, those not too long in the service of Chaos saw the error of their ways and switched sides, hoping to earn some redemption in the eyes of their master. Rogel Dorn found the blasted remains of the Emperor, all but dead, and transported his near-lifeless corpse to the life-sustaining arcana of the Golden Throne. For a short while, the Emperor was able to communicate in a semi-coherent manner, but over time, even this passed, and he fell silent. His great intellect and psychic might had passed on from the material realm. Though the Horus heresy was over, it would take dozens of long, hard years for the forces of the Emperor to reclaim lost star systems and rebuild all that had been destroyed. In the decades that followed the Horus heresy, the Imperium faced many challenges. Rebellion, inspired by Horus's actions and by the machinations of the dark gods of Chaos, was rife across the worlds of humanity. Horus had unleashed a tide of treachery and betrayal. Many would attempt to follow in his path. The traitor legions and their twisted primarchs continued to fight, no longer for the Imperium, but for their own survival. War was so incessant that at times the threat to the safety and sanctity of the Imperium was almost as great as during the heresy. The loyal forces of the Emperor dedicated themselves to ridding the galaxy of the traitors and their allies. The wars that would come to be known as the Scouring lasted for many years, and the effort nearly exhausted the forces of Terror. City by city, world by world, the forces of the Emperor reclaimed the galaxy once again from the armies of darkness. The Space Marines loyal to the Emperor fought and fought, and eventually hounded the traitors into the Eye of Terror, the strange area of space where warp space and real space are bound together. This bizarre region became the prison of the traitors, and their greatest stronghold. Guardian fleets patrolled its borders, and nearby planets became garrison worlds, ever ready to combat raiding forces from the Eye. Within the giant warp storm, the traitor Primarchs and their legions found sanctuary amongst the nightmare demon worlds. They warred amongst themselves for dominance and territory, while factions split from the legions to found other warbands and armies. Thus started the struggle that has lasted 10,000 years, and even now besets the Imperium. You have been listening to Oldex, Codex Chaos Space Marines, 4th edition, pages 12 to 15, The Horus Heresy, written by Gav Thorpe and Alessio Cavatori, narrated by R.J. Bailey. With great thanks to Alistair for donating this copy of Codex Space Marines. Thank you to Gav Thorpe and Alessio Cavatori for writing the fiction I grew up with. If you've enjoyed this, please leave a review where you found it, or like, share, and subscribe on YouTube, depending how you're listening. This production, like all of Oldex, is entirely unofficial and uncommercial, from an out-of-print publication, is a derivative work with all copyrights owned by Games Workshop, and is a celebration of the hobby and lore I grew up with. If you have suggestions for other old Codex fiction for me to narrate on this podcast, you can comment, contact me on Twitter at rjbailey, or email robertjbailey@gmail.com. Links are in the show description. I don't have a Patreon or enable ads for this, so if you really like Oldex, please do contact Games Workshop on social media or via email, and tell them you want me to narrate their audiobooks for realsies. Do it again if you've already done it. That'd be nice.